Paul, let me ask you something. Do you like your family?
It's a really complicated question, Steve. I didn't realize this is where we're going to be going right now.
No, I mean, do you like seeing pictures of your family?
Yeah, sure. Pictures of my family are nice. Yes, sir.
Okay, I've got a great recommendation for you. It is the Aura Frame. You've probably seen some of these before. You go to your friend's house and they have a frame on the cabinet or in the living room or whatever, and it has digital photos.
Sure. Yes.
Well, I got this thing and I set it up, super easy to set up. I basically dumped a bunch of photos from my phone right onto it. Very easy to do. Took me just minutes.
All this sounds scary to me.
No, it's incredibly easy.
It's not hard. Okay.
And basically you can put like, seems like an almost infinite amount of photos on this thing. And then you can set the parameters and it can rotate your family through like every 30 seconds.
Amazing.
And it's great because I've got pictures of my son, my family.
Cool.
My dad passed away a few years ago. I get to see him popping up every now and then. The good ghosts of your personal history coming through on this thing.
Nice. That's nice.
They have a great deal for Mother's Day, so listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ChinwagPod at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
I have to retell an anecdote that I have.
Okay, that do it.
Once, I got to tell you, because it was really strange. I worked in Budapest once. I was shooting a movie in Budapest, and I was walking around Budapest at night, because it's a great city to walk around in at night. It's a fantastic, interesting city. And it was with a friend of mine. And we were walking around, and we were in the area that was, you know, in cities and capital cities like this is the area where all the foreign embassies are. And so I was in this area with all these, and a lot of the time, and in Budapest, it's this amazingly beautiful neighborhood filled with these old kind of 19th century mansions and stuff like that that now house all of these embassies.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're walking past the Russian embassy, and I'm like, I'm outside the Russian embassy in Budapest. This is too good. I gotta like, and this is before, certainly before I was using a camera phone or anything like that. So I wasn't like, but I was like, so there's two wrought iron gates that are both the entry and exit of a kind of curved driveway that goes up to the portico of this house. It's this huge wrought iron, elaborate 19th century, all fucking, you know, heraldic fucking shields and shit on it and stuff like that. So I go walking up to the thing to take a look at the thing, and I feel this, what I can only describe as like a burst of static electricity in the base of my skull and top of my spine.
Are you kidding?
That feels like a snap in the base of my head, and I back away from the thing.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, and there's almost, I could hear what seemed like a sound, but my friend could hear a sound. So of course I do it again because I'm like, and this fucking thing, right as I'm getting up to the gate, this thing like hits me and makes me fucking. She does it. Same fucking thing happened.
Are you serious?
Is there some standard security device that some sonic beep, like pulse like that? Because when I started hearing about Havana syndrome, I was like—
You're like, wait a second.
Now, I didn't get a weird headache that I remember or anything from it, but maybe I wasn't exposed long enough. But I remember looking around, and yeah, there's like security cameras and shit, although I don't know, maybe they were this little fucking thing that was just like bzzup, like this that the Russians had like.
Whoa.
But isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. I'm very open to this because sound can be, if it's focused properly, can be a weapon. Like it can damage internal organs and shit. I don't know. We don't have absolute like confirmation of it, but this does make, at least it seems reasonable. There's a lot of speculation. I mean, in the music industry, there's this kind of, it's kind of a joke. It's kind of legitimate. People talk about the brown tone, which is a sound you can, maybe you could make on your guitar. It's like an ideal sound. It's so troubling and amazing that it makes you fill your pants. You just basically like.
I've heard of this.
You heard of the brown tone.
Yeah. I've heard of the brown tone.
And I'm just thinking, why couldn't these guys develop weapons like this too that work in
the distance? I don't think it sounds It sounds unlikely or unreasonable actually. No. Like, it doesn't sound weird to me at all. I'm like, think of the shit they can do. I mean, think of the stuff that we know that they can, that it can be done. I mean, you know, it's like a sonic weapon doesn't seem like a crazy idea to me at all.
So she felt it too when she went up to the gate.
And she said, because when it would happen, it was like you heard a sound in your own head, but she said it was almost like you could hear a sound exterior too. She, when she was standing away from me and it happened, she was like, you heard like a,
oh shit,
you know, a little kind of like electric frying sound, you know, a little like
of your fucking limbic system.
Yeah, you're fucking totally. But it was like, but clearly if whatever it was, it wasn't like, not that I didn't
You've
suffer permanent damage that I know of. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but it certainly was, it was certainly strange, man. And I've never, and I've always thought I should look it up and see if this is a thing, you know? And I thought, okay, it's some sonic weapon to keep you away from the fucking fence.
Well,
from
this makes, I mean, that's a good point. Like there's a, they're not too far away from here. A neighbor has a dog and they've got a, basically a little, it's like an electronic fence where the dog will get zapped with a collar.
Yeah, but that's, when it goes, goes through that's a microchip and stuff like that. Right. They do that with dogs.
So couldn't you, could you create it in a sort of at a distance, action at a distance, sort of fire it through,
it doesn't
through the air,
seem,
through
it doesn't seem weird to me that to just aim this thing down there. So if anybody gets too close to the thing, some field opens up and you just get fucking zapped. You know,
now, here's the,
was,
here's the
it
thing.
It was a little bit like touching an electric fence, but it was happening in my head. It was happening in the base of my spine. It was that same feeling, but it was in here. It was like...
Your example is actually more compelling than some of the Havana syndrome stories. But, and here's why. It's
Thank you. I should step forward. I should step forward. Thank you for finally acknowledging...
You need to go on 60 minutes on this shit right now.
No, thank you for finally acknowledging
you did it
my
twice.
Stature.
Yes. And then... Then your friend did it, like, in the same space.
Yes, that's
true. What other people are reporting are often solitary experiences that then somebody has to correlate with another. And I know that this is sort of an interesting question about psychosomatic illnesses, because I think the general mood has been, well, those aren't real illnesses. They're just produced by the mind. But I think what we're learning now about things like placebos and the mind
in
general.
What you just said, though, too, the mirror neuron thing is
extraordinary. Yeah, and the mirror neurons, right.
I mean, what you just said about that is amazing. Yeah,
that the mind really can be, because words and thoughts are still activating the same neural pathways that chemicals are basically triggering. So there's not of evidence now that you can give, they'll give like painkillers to a subject, and then they'll stop giving painkillers, but they'll have all the accoutrement. Like they'll show like, here's the bag of, you know, morphine and here's the, but they won't actually give it to the patient. The patient will still report feeling much better that they're getting the drug. But they're not getting the drug. Their mind is telling them to squelch the pain, and it does, it works. And there's very high levels of this stuff now. So, so one thing is there's possibly a weapon. The other thing is that you might just be, you might hear sort of legends or stories, and you might actually get yourself wound up into certain kinds of symptoms.
Totally.
I think in your case,
no, I believe, totally buy that thing that the mind can cause the physical. I completely buy it. You know, 100%. And as a, and I'm telling you, as like as an actor, it's something you do, and you can induce. I mean, you know, you can induce all kinds of things. You can cause yourself to do all kinds of things by putting yourself. I mean, it's fascinating.
Yeah, how do people make themselves like cry and like?
But you don't even necessarily. Well, some of that is some people just have a physiological ability. There's a trick they can do to make themselves do it.
So they're not.
Some of it is sort of. No, but some people, but no, but I think it can then induce a feeling of that.
Ah.
It gives you that response, and then you start to, then you start to feel sad because your body's doing what you do when you feel sad. You know what I mean? So
that,
it's like, it's a little
totally
bit of a loop
sense.
Like that. But I think beforehand, you can already convince yourself of things and then it will happen. And it's not a physiological trick that you know how to do. It's something else where you've put yourself, you've deluded yourself. Into thinking
that's really interesting.
You're thinking you're sad. I remember a guy once asking me, I did a play and I had to cry in it night after night, and I would cry all the time. And the guy said to me, "How do you do that?" And I said, "It's sad." I said, "The guy dies and it's sad." I was like, "That's why I cry every night." You know, and it was like, I didn't know what to say. I was like, it's sad. But it was that thing of something. And again, doing it night after night in a play, I trained my brain at that point to be sad. So it was almost like I had built up.
Yeah.
To some extent, but you'd built up something in yourself. It's really interesting, actually, in light of what we're talking about, that like that's interesting. And the practice of it. So that sometimes because I can remember doing another play where I had to really burst into tears and thing, and I had to sort of build myself up to it. But then in the run of the play, I realized I didn't have to as much. And there were times when I thought, not going to happen tonight, and it would.
Oh, really?
And it was like, yeah. I'd just be like, coming up to the moment. And I'm thinking, not going to happen. And it would happen.
Here comes the tears, yeah.
Yeah, and a boom, and it would just happen.
Okay.
And it was like I trained my brain.
I got a theory
into
on this.
Knowing I, okay.
I got a theory, which is the way it's been described to me before is like that an actor will think about something sad, like maybe a death of a loved one. And then, but there's another theory, which I think it was what you just described sounds more like, which is they did an experiment where they gave two groups of people a shot of adrenaline. They put one group into a room and the other group into another room. Inside the room was an undercover plant. He's part of the experiment. He's an actor. Mm-hmm. And the one guy in the one room is supposed to just get aggravated and agitated and angry. And the other guy is sort of a jokester. He's telling jokes and having a good old time. Now, everybody's amped up on adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And what they found was that in the room with the asshole, everybody became assholes and like angry. And in the room with the jokester, everybody was having a fucking ball.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So
that's amazing.
You need the energy of the adrenaline.
That's amazing.
But then the context.
That's fascinating. Because in some sense, the adrenaline's going. You're in a room with a lot of people.
Yeah.
With an audience. You're in a room with that's really interesting as to why it might be easier to cry on stage for me than it is on film. Because I find it harder to do that on film.
Oh, interesting.
Than it is on stage. And if part of it is that shared experience. That's amazing, Steve.
Yeah,
I've never thought of this. That shared experience, there's a group of people in there who are all feeling the same thing, hopefully.
Yeah.
It's like, and you are causing this, you're inducing this in them, but they're also then participating and continuing to induce it.
Yeah.
And that energy actually helps you
cry,
get to where you have to go.
Angry,
that's fucking amazing, actually. Dude, I think that's maybe a good stopping point for this.
All right. We sorted it out.
No, I just think that's amazing. There's other shit that I would love to talk to about, but that you just said to me blows my tiny, shriveled mind. It's like that, but that's real. No, but I think it's why I find acting on stage not just more rewarding. I feel better at it.
Oh,
I actually feel like I'm better at it.
Maybe because you're reading the room. The whole room.
Well, because reading the room, there's a whole mass of people participating.
Yeah. You're the focal
in this
point
experience,
of all of this.
In this stuff. Delusion.
Yeah.
In
right.
this mass delusion.
Wow.
That's beneficial to people, hopefully. That's
cool.
That's benevolent and not malevolent. Wow.
Well,
good. Bless your heart.
Well,
bless
good
your
place
heart.
To start.
Yeah, that was a really, that was amazing.
Chinwag is a production of Treefort Media and Touchy Feely Films. Hosted and executive produced by Paul Giamatti and Stephen Asma. Executive producers for Treefort are Kelly Garner and Lisa Ammerman. Dan Carey is executive producer for Touchy Feely. Our series producer is Rachel Whitley Bernstein. Original theme music by Luke Topp with additional music by Via Mardot. Oscar Guido is our executive in charge of production. Tom Monahan is head of audio for Treefort. Audio production supervision by Matt Dyson. Editing and mixing by Jeff Neal. Animation created by Alex Sokol. Research assistance by Aiden Brooks. Lastly, for more information, go to chinwagpod.fm and find us on Instagram or TikTok at chinwagpod or on Twitter at chinwag_pod.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.